So it is one of those interesting days with freezing rain, and it kept a whole lot of people away. I optimistically wrote an email yesterday, hey, we're going to set up extra chairs in case you're worried about two services collapsing into one. Like, yeah, we set them up, but there's not a soul in those chairs. But you're joining us here and wherever you live at home, and we're grateful for that because we can gather today. And this is a perfect lead-in to how I want to start my message about the electricity, all right? And this is going to carry over into a spiritual theme. You're excited, Xavier, I know. Electricity. All right? Electricity. Hey, do we have a kids ministry today? Oh, I did not dismiss the kids. Kids, y'all can be dismissed. I did know that. I wrote that. I just didn't remember that. Can't blame it on not knowing. Age 5 through 5th grade, you 4 kids can head to the back. And they're going to have a great time. Any adults who want to go, you can just, I mean, it's going to be awesome. All right, electricity. It is one of the most interesting phenomenons of our world. I don't understand it. Don't pretend to understand it. But it's what's allowing us today to have lights on in this room. It's what's allowing us to be able to live stream today. And you in your homes are you able to have a computer on or a TV on or a phone, and it was maybe your phone was charged with electricity. Your Wi-Fi router is being broadcast because it's powered by electricity. You were able to come here today and drive here because you turned on a car and the ignition it's connected to a battery. It has electricity, or maybe you just do the push button thing now, or maybe you have remote start. Oh, that's a beautiful thing when it's icy outside. Electricity, it's all over the place. It's what makes our world run, but we don't even realize it anymore. We don't even think about the fact that there right now underneath me are 120 volt wires running here with receptacles in this little box, and I don't even think about it. But I could power a computer, I could power a keyboard, I could plug in something else that I needed right here, and boom, electricity. But we have made electricity so tame and so safe that we hardly realize it. In fact, look around the room here, maybe at home, look around the room. There are power outlets around there that look so nice and decorative, you don't even notice them. But I tell you, you put something inside the electrical outlet, you're going to notice really quick. Like, just kidding. No, I didn't shock myself. I did rehearse that, but I did not shock myself. What would it take to have us wake up to the power of electricity? Maybe you need to see a downed power line outside your house and see it sparking. And you go, whoa, I'm not going near that. Maybe you go under some of those mega power lines. You ever been under those where it's just these massive power lines running? I golfed at a golf course and they were running over top, and we're running riding in our golf cart, and I hear the hum of the electricity, and I'm going, man, I feel like I'm getting cancer just being here. Like, get me out of here, to hit my ball real quick and go. Electricity can kill you. It can jolt you. It can shock you. It's powerful. And I think there is a similarity between electricity and Jesus. The glory and the power of Jesus. Sometimes he becomes so safe, sometimes so routine to us, that we have lost a sense of awe of his majesty and glory and power. So much so that the world around us doesn't even realize that the very reason they're able to breathe is because Jesus is allowing them to breathe today. The very reason everything you have is still working and running is because Jesus is actively holding it together right now. And if he took his hands off, everything would blow apart and cease to exist. We, even as Christians, get so used to singing and praying, and we know the Bible stories and everything, that we just kind of take Jesus off the throne where he is, and we just see him as average, as normal. And we miss the majesty and glory of Christ. But our prayer this week, as we have started into our 40 days of prayer, has been to be reawakened to the glory of Christ. These 40 days started last Sunday. We're going to preach that theme each week at the end of the week. So we get to pray it all week, and then we get to experience it together in corporate worship each of the next 6 Sundays. 40 days is roughly 6 weeks. So we have a series of 6 messages on this idea of reawakening to Christ. And this week is the glory of Christ. And many of you joined with us doing the daily devotionals that have been put out to us through electronic means. If you didn't get that, you can email us or call us. We'll send you the PDF of that. Or we do, I believe, have some printed copies here today you can grab. But we want you to be joining with us on these daily devotionals through the next, minus 7 days, so 33 days left. Also, this past Wednesday, we had a 1 day of prayer and fasting, and it was great. So many of you participated in that together, and 1 day was a lot easier than 3 days, which we typically do once a year, and we hope to do more 1 day fasts throughout this year as a church. And Wednesday night, we concluded with a prayer meeting at 7 p.m., and it was glorious. We encountered the glory of Christ, and we can do that. We can reawaken to the glory of Christ through faith, through pursuing him in his word and what he says, through prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then working in us and ministering to us. We can experience his glory, but so often we don't. The disciples got a jolt awake one day to the glory of Christ. At least 3 of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. Jesus said to them, "Hey guys, let's go up this high mountain." You probably heard the story before. It's a story of his transfiguration. Transfigure. He changed in appearance to them. So they come up this mountain. They had no idea what was going to happen. All of a sudden, Jesus starts lighting up on fire. His face begins to glow like the glow of the sun. His clothes transformed into a really, really bright white. In fact, the Gospel of Mark, he says, whiter than anyone could bleach them. I like that description. In Luke, it says his clothes were brighter than a flash of lightning. If a flash of lightning struck in front of you, you'd be terrified by it and you'd hear the loud crash, but the brightness of that would make you flinch back. Jesus was that brilliant and glowing in front of them. And then Moses and Elijah showed up there on the mountaintop, and Peter, James, and John are going, "Wait, these guys, they're godly men. They died hundreds of years ago. How did they just show up here?" And they're like, "Hey, let's build some houses. Let's stay up here. We want to hang out with you guys." But Moses and Elijah are seeing Jesus in this transfigured glory, and it's like normal for them. They've been in heaven. They've been seeing Jesus in his revealed glory. And so they're just chit-chatting away. And disciples are just like, oh, completely overwhelmed at what they're seeing. And then a cloud comes and envelops the mountaintop. And a cloud, it kind of pulls back into our minds the picture in the Old Testament in the temple when the temple would fill with smoke and the glory of God would be revealed. And that's what they experienced in that moment. This cloud comes and the voice of the Father speaks in this rumbling loud voice, speaking to the 3 disciples. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Okay. And with that, they're so overcome that they pass out and fall down on the ground. This was one of those jolts of lightning, of electricity that woke them up to the glory of Christ. It says when they opened their eyes, they were sleepy, and it says they saw the glory of Jesus. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of experience? That kind of experience most of us aren't even going to have until we're in heaven one day. But Jesus is no less glorious right now, as we sit in this room, or you sit wherever you are, than he was there that day to the disciples. than he is in heaven, where the angels are worshiping him, constantly crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." That's who Jesus is right now. But after that time, after the disciples woke up and they saw the glory of Jesus, all of a sudden, the glory, appearance of glory is taken away, and Jesus is just another guy with a beard and regular clothes and sandals. And he tells them, "Hey guys, don't tell anyone about this." And they headed down the mountain. I think that's the funniest part. "Hey guys, don't tell anyone about this." Okay. And they just walk off with him, trying to go back to life as normal after they had seen that. How do you go back to life as normal? They knew that he was a prophet. They knew that he was the Messiah. They believed that. They knew he was sent from the Father. They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him raise a girl from the dead. They had seen him feed the 5,000. But they had never seen that. They walked down the mountain back into regular life. I believe that our experience is much the same. We get glimpses of Jesus's glory at times, but we don't get to stay on the mountaintop. We got to live down off the mountain into regular life where things happen. Freezing rain happens. Do you see the glory of Christ today? You can, through eyes of faith, but you wake up tomorrow morning, it's Monday, and the alarm's going to go off way too early, and you're going to wipe sleep out of your eyes, and you're going to stumble around, and you're going to, maybe you're a coffee drinker, and you get your coffee, and then, oh, okay, finally I'm a little bit awake, and it's a new week, and can you see the glory of Christ on Monday morning? Somebody said amen. Yes, you can, but often we don't. How about when you got to go to the grocery store and you're trying to slink around and not get too close to people right now, and you want to get what you want off the shelves and they don't have it stocked? You're going to see the glory of Christ. How about when you feel like you have a little bit of a cold, but you're not sure if it's a cold or if it's COVID, and you're like, "Ah, how do I know? Do I need a quarantine?" And you get a quarantine for like the 10th time now, and you're like, "Ah, and I can't even get a test because they're not available." Can you see the glory of Christ? So much of our life, we live in the valley, not up on the mountaintop. But is Jesus any less glorious? Are you hungry for him to reawaken you to the glory of Christ? We can see him in his word and how he is revealed. And that's our prayer, that Jesus would reawaken us to his glory. Randy Corbin's message 2 weeks ago was, "God, now you see him, now you don't." Jesus was born and the angels came from heaven and they revealed the glory of God, and then they went up into the sky, and then shortly thereafter, Herod issues a decree that all baby boys 2 years and under must be killed throughout the land, which is a horrible tragedy, and Jesus becomes a refugee to Egypt. Where's the glory of God now? This is our experience. But today, would we be hungry for Jesus to reveal his glory to us? In fact, let me just pray, and then we're going to look at his word. Lord Jesus, we simply ask you, like the first song we sung asked you, show us your glory. As we read your word, may we not read it casually. May we not read this like, "Oh, I've heard this before," or, "Oh, I'm just sitting here, it's Sunday morning." Will you put a fire in us, a desire in us to see you like your word describes you? Holy Spirit, do that in us, we pray. Amen. Colossians 1. Starting in verse 15. Pay attention in here for who Jesus is and what Jesus does. These two things, who Jesus is and what Jesus does. He is the image of the invisible God, meaning he's the visible expression of the invisible God, who God is spirit, but Jesus took on a body. He's the firstborn over all creation, meaning that he's not created. He's not the first one created. He was not created. In fact, he created all things, the next verse says, but he is in the position of first place, of ownership over all creation. For by him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Look at all that he made. Look, all things were created by him and for him. See that? He made it all. It's when it recalls in our minds Genesis chapter 1, where God spoke each of the days of creation. He spoke and light came into existence. He spoke and there was earth and there was water. When the Father spoke that, do you remember in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus, the Word, was, as the Father spoke, Jesus was there doing it and making it. And then the Holy Spirit was hovering over it all. Jesus was there in the very beginning. It was created by him and for him. He is before all things. It's in a position of first place, preeminence. And in him, all things hold together. And the implication is if he let go, it would all fall apart. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is us, and all of the people around the world who trust in the name of Jesus now and past and future. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He's the first one, and there's going to be a whole lot who are going to be risen from the dead. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. It's all about him. Catching the picture here? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Jesus is God. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. There's the redemptive peace that he's done all that. There's such a span of breadth and depth of who Jesus is. He's all encompassing for everything that we can ever see or conceive of, everything that we will ever know. Jesus is supreme over it all because it's from him and it's for him. Look at this list with me just to summarize who Jesus is. He's the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation, before all things, head of the church, firstborn from among the dead, supreme over all, the fullness of God in him. This is who Jesus is. What has he done? There were four things that it says that he did. He created all things. He holds all things together. He reconciles to himself all things. He made peace by his blood. Jesus has done all of that. Everything about this world and his existence points to him. So how high and glorious is Jesus? There's nothing higher than him. There's no molecule of the universe. There's no angel or demon that's higher than him. There's no law of nature that rules over him. There's no person that rules over him. There's no sickness like COVID. There's no threat to our society. There's no problem in your life. He's bigger and he's in charge of it all. There's a commentary by David Grusick that I looked at in regards to this passage, and he brought out several aspects of nature when you're considering how big Jesus is. And he described it like this: Saturn's rings are 500,000 miles in circumference. Go ahead and advance the next slide so they can see us on the live stream. There, okay. Otherwise, they'll just see the slide. 500,000 miles in circumference around Saturn. That's 20 times bigger than the Earth in circumference. And they're only a foot thick. He created that in all of its majesty and its perfection and uniqueness. And by the way, you can't even hardly see it, but he just went super creative on stuff all around the universe. If you were to take a beach ball and put it on top of the Empire State Building and say, this is the size of the sun, a beach ball, representatively, the nearest group of stars would be as far away as Australia. That's how big the universe is. And that's just to the next group of stars. And there are thousands upon thousands of galaxies around the universe. He holds it in his hand. The earth, I like this one, travels around the sun at a very fast rate, 8 times the speed of a bullet fired from a gun. We're cruising right now. You don't even realize it. There are more insects in 1 square mile on earth. Get that? Think of how many insects are in the ground and flying around and in the trees. And there are more insects in 1 square mile than there are people on this planet. And God knows every one of them. And he made every one of them with creativity, with a perfect balance of how they can live in nature. He knows everyone, what they're doing. He knows us. He knows every hair on our heads. He knows every thought that's going through our minds. He knows everything that we do. Before we even say it, he knows what we're going to say. He knows our future. God's keeping track of all that. Jesus is keeping track of all that. How about this one? If a single human chromosome were to be translated over into books, all the information that's in that one chromosome, the tiny little chromosome, it contains 20 billion bits of information. If it were put over into ordinary books in ordinary language, it would take 4,000 books for one chromosome. He put that in you. He made you. Jesus did that. Did you catch the wording in all of this? Everything was made by him and for him. He's before all things. Yeah, okay, I see it a little clearer now. And in him, all things hold together. Do you see this? The breadth of his position, of his authority, and of his power? He's holding it all together. Not like, my mind goes to one of those strongman competitions. So those, like, you know, you've got evil Igor and Sven who are, you know, in this weightlifting competition, and they're doing things like lifting heavy rocks, and they're putting them up on top of a platform. And like, your muscles are bulging, you're sweating, and there's a vein popping out of the forehead. That's not how Jesus is as he's ruling all this. Jesus is calm, he's relaxed. This is not hard for him. It's inconceivable for us. Jesus is engaged. He's very present. He's everywhere present. But it's not even hard for him. He's not breaking a sweat. That's him. And did you catch the word all in these verses? 8 times the word all shows up. Just think of how big Jesus' rule is, his position. So when the disciples were seeing this Jesus lighting up like this and all that was going on, they were only getting a glimpse of his glory. Listen to this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over, let me hear it, all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and earth. All things were created by him and for him. He is before what? All things. And in him, all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things, that's what the Greek says. It says everything in my translation, but all things, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. There's not a thing that exists, never has existed, that ever will exist, anything that goes on that Jesus is not part of, that he's not supreme over. Every detail of your life, every day, every second, every heartbeat you've just had, Jesus knows it all. And he is intimately involved in your life and in mind. He's transcended above it all, and he's intimately involved in it all. And those later verses just highlight not only the majesty of Christ, but the love of Christ, that he would reconcile to himself all the people, all the broken world that we live in, all the sinful people. That's us. We don't deserve to be united to a God like that, to have any sort of standing with a God like that. Think about how much we have lived in rebellion against him, how we even continue to live in rebellion against him. Even the best person here, we ran out of like a beauty contest up here of your good works. Hey, I'm a good person because of this, and I've done this, and you know, line them up. Yeah, now go and tell the sin contest. Oh, I've done this and this. He still loves each one of us. And he has come and stooped to the place of dying on a cross, making peace through his blood shed for us. That God did that for us. That's the breadth and the width and the glory and the majesty of Jesus. It's what the scripture tells us. May the Holy Spirit help us to get this, to open our eyes again today. Awaken, church. Awaken to his glory. You may not see it all right now with your eyes, but believe it in your heart. This is who Jesus is. If he is this big, then what is the implication for our life? That we can trust him. That we should admire him. That we should praise him. That we should adore him. That he should capture our attention. In fact, whatever you may be going through, don't have the picture of Jesus as some uninterested, far away kind of God who's got it out for you and he doesn't have anything to do with the situation you're in. No, he's intimately involved right now. And he's the same God that revealed himself to the disciples by glowing like the sun to them. And he's the same one who's in your life. In fact, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He lives in you. Picture Jesus like that, and then it's a whole lot easier to trust him. You know, in a retirement account, if you were to take your money down to the nearest retirement investor and say, "Hey, I wanna, you know, grow my savings for retirement, and you help me," then the first rule of thumb is diversify your portfolio. Don't put it all in one place. Let's talk about some options, okay? You can put some here, and you can put some here, and you can put some here. Why? Because if any one of them crashes, then you don't lose it all. You don't put it all in one place, because if it does great, it's awesome. But if it crashes, you lose it. And so we want to have it in several places, different kinds of investments. With Jesus, you don't have to diversify your portfolio. Because he is guaranteed to be the stock that you can invest in for all of life now and for all of eternity. He will not crash. He will not disappoint. He will never fail. You can put it all in Jesus. Go all in with your life. Go all in with whatever he says. Go whatever, however he's directing you. Whatever his word says, go all in with it, because you'll never lose. I mean, you may lose in terms of suffering and trial walking in the valley, but Jesus is still the same glorious God, and at the end, you will never regret what you invested in Jesus. It will pay off in dividends for all eternity. Jesus. Jesus. Imagine one day when we're going to be in heaven, and no longer do we need to live in the kind of veiled glory that we experience now of Christ. We're going to see him face to face. I know it's cliche. The song says, "I can only imagine what it will be like." Try to do that. Try to do that, to imagine. Imagine seeing Jesus unveiled. I mean, could you even stand up? The disciples passed out on the ground. And he doesn't strike you dead. He doesn't cast you away. He welcomes you. And you're like, "I don't deserve it. You're so worthy. I can't believe I'm here." What's that going to be like? Live for the glory of Jesus. It's worth it. May God reawaken us to the glory of Christ. That's what we get to live for. That's what's at the end of our goals. I get to see the glory of Jesus. Let him sustain you now. Seek after him. Seek after him in prayer. Seek after him in his word. Hold on to that hope. Because if even angels can't look at him, they have to cover their faces and cry out, holy, 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 totally other is the Lord. And what are you going to do in heaven? Whew. That's going to be amazing. Built in some time here at the end in response to this, to worship that Jesus, to have that cry of our hearts, oh God, Jesus, let me see that you're the God who made everything. All things were made by you and for you, and that you hold everything together, and everything in my life right now you're holding together, and that you're the one who's supreme over it all the creation, everything in my life, and you reconciled me to yourself, making peace through your blood shed on a cross. Oh Lord, let's invite the glory of Christ to meet us, to be revealed to us, to jolt us awake like that shock of electricity this morning. Join me in asking him for that. Lord Jesus, holy, holy, holy are you. The whole earth is filled with your glory. A glimpse, Lord. Show us a glimpse this morning. With hearts of faith, we respond to your word. It's told us the truth. Now we come and respond to you. We worship you. We adore you. We praise you. Open our eyes.